So, a wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he sat, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. I'm like that wise old bird. This is Dr. Harry L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. A wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he sat, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. I am like this wise old bird. You know, there's so much truth in that. Who is the best conversationalist that you've ever met? The best conversationalist that you've ever met, the person who listened while you talked. You thought they were the most wonderful conversationalist in the world because they listened to you. Oh, they chimed in occasionally with the right thing. Yeah, okay, sure, good, yeah. But the thing is, they let you talk and they listened. And you see, they didn't really have to do any work. If you were boring as a doornail, you know, and if you were unarticulate, if you were incorrect, if you were in every way, it's a sad, sad situation, it didn't bother them. They listened to you, and they took the information that they wanted to hear, and the information they didn't want to hear, they just allowed it to flow off into the infinite and be untouched by it. They didn't say, if I'm going to listen to you, you must always say correct things. If I'm going to listen to you, you must always be interesting. If I'm going to listen to you, you must always be coherent. You see, that's not our privilege. Our privilege is to listen. Now, when you consider what goes on in scientific circles, you might really take another look at yourself. In scientific circles, scientists have what they call a think tank. Perhaps it comes by other names in other organizations, but it's a think tank, basically. And in that think tank, they throw around ideas. They just toss out ideas as irrelevant and as irreverent and as impossible as they can be. But it's an idea that happened to cross their mind. So they throw it out into the group for thinking. And then one person all of a sudden says, ah, that's my missing link. That's the point that I needed to have to continue with this concept, to go on with this idea, you know? Something totally irrational, totally with no basis anywhere, but it happened to fit in his jigsaw puzzle. And this is how we are. This is how we are. When we learn to listen without judging, without determining how we're going to use it, but we listen, and when the person is done giving us what they want to give us, if we want to dissect it at that time for our pleasure, we may do so, but don't. Just listen, and your mind is so in tune and alert, it will be like a magnet. It will draw to it all the iron filings, all of the ideas that you want, and all the ideas that are not of interest to you, they will be like non-magnetic iron filings that will not be drawn to you, you see? You have that wonderful talent to just draw to you whatever interests you. And your interests are as broad as the universe. You might say, well, I'm not interested in pornographic stuff. Well, hey, that's cool. No reason you should. I'm not interested in how to change a baby's diaper. Oh, you might want to be interested. One of these days you might have the opportunity. You never know. You might be with friends and you might have to do that for some reason. So, things like that are important, that no matter what we hear, always listen with an open ear. I was reading some material this morning, and I was thinking to myself, I'm reading a lot of this material which has no relevance to anything. It has no value to anything. And I'm reading this, and I'm putting this in my mind, I'm filling my mind with all of this information that has no relevance to me. Now, what am I going to do? Why am I busying up my mind with that sort of stuff? And then I thought to myself, yes, it's all there. It was there before I read it. It was in my mind before I read it. But when I read it, it gave me an opportunity to file it deeper away or bring something forward. But when I got to the end of what I was reading, I ran across a point that was very salient, very important to my thinking. And I took that idea and ran with it. And I was so happy that I did. And you see, this is what happens to us. We hear lectures, we hear talks. Now, I've been giving these internet talks for years and enjoying it thoroughly. And the feedback is nominal, as it is for most things. And I don't care. I am giving it for myself because I love to give the talks and I love to talk. And I love to hear myself talk. And if I don't love to hear myself talk, I wouldn't be talking. You know that. And the same goes for anybody else. Well, we got a letter from Joan Fiercy from Somerset, New Jersey. And in her beautiful letter, she said, oh, what a genius she is. What a fabulous lady she is. She says, I enjoy your gist, or rather, I enjoy our little magazine, which comes every month, and I enjoy the emails. You know, I enjoy the talks. And I thought to myself, how nice of you to say that, you know. She doesn't come right out and say, da-da-da. She just comes out and alludes to it. And that makes it all the more charming, because when you give as many talks three times a day, times how many days in the month and the year, that gets to be quite a few talks. And yet, if I were to mention Joan Fiercy's name, and she heard it, or if she didn't hear it, but if she heard it, then she'd say, oh, I heard you spoke about me, you know. Now, this is how we want every talk we hear to affect us. We want to hear our name in that talk. We want to hear a talk that speaks to our soul, that speaks to our being. Now, she wrote this book, and in this book that she wrote, she had a very fascinating series of little articles that were statements that were so impressive. And it was just wonderful. So the name of the book is Elaine, Daughter of Avalon. And in there, she had a number of very beautiful comments. And I was just so thrilled with those comments because I thought that they were something that would really be quite nice for me to use in my articles, in my talks here. And the running you hear is Sylvia and Ellen running to get the information that we have. And, for instance, in her book, she had a few articles we're going to use, I've asked her permission to use, in the internet talks. And one of it, as a result of years of being, she has written a fictional story, and how this little girl was raised by a stepmother who was rather cruel to her, you know, like Cinderella. And so she grew up with an unhappy attitude toward her stepmother, which happens oftentimes. And so as a result of years of being untruthful to avoid being doubted or flailed, this was still a challenge for me to live in integrity in every moment. Once you live in integrity, it'll become easier for you, and you will find great confidence arising in your being as you tell the truth more and more. And I thought, that has a lot of power to it. I can certainly tell a wonderful talk on that. And another one, this is not exactly the way she wrote it, but blue lapis stone charged with light and truth helps to be truthful all the time. Mm-hmm. And I shortened that. And then another one here, do not allow others to hurt your soul. Respond from your heart and do not react with unkindness. Allow yourself to dance away from others who live in their world of unhappiness. They simply speak another language than you. They cannot understand you and you cannot understand them. Do not waste your time. Go and on to be free with your own splendid spirit. Your mission is of the light. You are a star seed. And then another one that she had here. I am the impossible dream realized. And then the last one that I chose, although I probably could have chosen the entire book, I am unmoved by the currents of the outer world. I am invisible to its power. And I thought, hey, that's real cool stuff. Now, I had been putting aside reading that book because my mail was just so heavy, but I thought, no, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to comment on it, and I have just been delighted that I did. We all have many challenges that lay on our desk. I know many of my students, they say, well, the book laid there, the book laid there, the book laid there. Pamela Wangler, who is over in Tucson, Arizona, she said she went into the bookstore, the used bookstore, to buy some books. And as she picked up a few here and there, one kept falling off the shelf. And she says, third time fell off the shelf, hey, something is talking to me. And so she looked it up, and here it was, Living with the Himalayan Masters. It is The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. Living with the Himalayan Masters are good too. But Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. She says, five books? I got to read this, you know. And so she took it, and she didn't go to sleep for a number of days. She just read, and thoroughly digested and thoroughly ingested everything that she could out of those beautiful books. But it fell off the shelf. And reminding her, perhaps she didn't put it back after she looked at it, and, you know, casually. And, you know, we can do things like that. People take a pendulum, and they hold it over something, and they try to read something, and they hold it real still. But if you could microscopically look at their finger muscles and so forth, you would find that they are just very tiny moving and causing the pendulum to go right or left or forward or back or circle or whatever they want it to do. Because nothing happens by chance, and everything is done by our choice. Everything is done by our choice, and it is up to us to start taking responsibility for it, enjoying it, and utilizing it. Now, as I talked about Joan Fiercy here, what did she do? She listened to the divine within her, and she wrote this quite lovely story about this woman having her initiation, and it's a charming story. Many others have been written about the same thing, but this had a separate little touch of it all to itself. This one had a touch more of reality to it. The others are like unreal. This one had the sense that, yes, that could really have happened. That could really be, even though she brings in King Arthur and his burial place and a few other places like that. But that's true. That's true. I would say if you would pay attention to yourself, you have had initiations many times. You have had your elder friends who take you aside and they say, now, what do you see when you look in that pond? And you say, stupidly, water. No, what do you see when you look in that pond? And you say, water. No, look beyond the water. Look underneath the water. Look in the water, around the water. What do you see? Don't see the commonplace. Don't see the everyday thing. See the magic that's in there. And then you start looking, and lo and behold, you start seeing movement. You start seeing not necessarily fish, but you might see faces. You see all sorts of things in there, and not that you must, but it's your mind offering you to have a moving picture screen of what's going on in your inner consciousness, and you haven't taken advantage of it. You have pretended that it doesn't exist for so long that, you know, it stops existing for you, but it's still there. It's still there, and if we will turn within and listen, we will find lots of things that are still there, always were, always will be, and are very exciting for us. So let's remember that. A wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he sat, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. I'm like that wise old bird. Now, you see, when we can listen, see, this is why meditation, Ellen Loud,
is to think about.
Meditation is to think about something. Sylvia, what is introspection?
Introspection is to listen to the divine within.
And Ingeborg, how do you listen to the divine within?
Talking to it.
Ingeborg might talk to the divine within, but that I would say we do in meditation. Ingeborg, shut up. In other words, when you are in an introspection, you shut up. You listen. You shut up. You don't talk. If you talk during introspection, you're not listening. You know, you're over-talking the divine trying to talk to you. No, Ingeborg, you're a wonderful person. Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect. But I've got pains. I've got this. I've got... No, Ingeborg. You're whole and perfect. Ingeborg, you're not listening. You're not listening to the divine within you. The divine within you says, Ingeborg, you're the most magnificent woman on the face of the earth. Don't you know that, Ingeborg? The divine in you says that about you. You know? Now, yeah, I would listen, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be fun to listen to? My goodness, yes. But we have to train ourselves to listen. And as we train ourselves to listen, we get great response. And this is something that only we can do for ourselves, is to train ourselves to listen. You see, this isn't so silly as it sounds. The wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he sat, the less he spoke. He listened. The less he spoke, the more he heard. I'm like this wise old bird. So, are you like this wise old bird? You sit quietly and listen, and you hear what's going on? You know, a lot of times, Ingeborg, you sit here and don't speak because you think you're inhibited from speaking. And if you would just stop and think, the less I speak, the more I hear. And you see, that's what you really want to do. You want to hear more. You want to hear the beautiful things that all of these people are talking about. You know who you are. You know what you are. You don't have to tell anybody how wonderful you are. You know that. But see, they're out here telling how wonderful they are, telling all the thoughts that they're thinking, which is not bad. But it is pretty soon they'll come to that time when they don't have to do that, and they will speak within. So let's join that wise old bird and be in silence and be in happy harmony, love, peace, joy, and goodness. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.